Welcome to the High Point Baptist Church Sermoncast for the glory of God and the proclamation of His Word. We thank you for listening. The following sermon was recorded at High Point Baptist Church on the evening of January 17th, 2016, and features preaching by our pastor-teacher, Pastor Matt Tarr.
Let's pray again before we turn to the ministry of the Word of God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you have revealed to us. What have you said in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare of your glory? Lord, all of nature cries out, bears witness to the nature of your handiwork, the majesty, the greatness, the power that is displayed in all of it. But Lord, you have also revealed to us your written revelation by the power of your Holy Spirit. You have made yourself known to us in the pages that you have inspired. Lord, that we have a measure of truth, a rod of truth, a canon of truth by which we can assess all other truth claims. Lord, that we would know the true nature of who you are, the true nature of our condition, and the only means by which we can be reconciled to you. Lord, we thank you for that. Pray that you would be blessed by this time as well and honored by this time, Lord, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. We can begin by turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're not going to be expositing this text particularly, but this message is going to sort of be a launching point for us. We will be looking at the matter of bibliology, or the matter of what the Bible has to say about the Bible itself over the next couple of weeks. And of course, we want to begin with the very nature of the question. Before all else, we want to ask, can we trust the Bible? Can we even trust what the Bible says about itself? And of course, we'll answer that question with an affirmative yes. The nature of this message, though, is a little bit different. It might sound a little bit more of a lesson in logic or a lesson in reason, perhaps more of a seminary course type nature, but I think it'll be helpful for you to put in the context of why we believe the Bible for the truth of what it says, and that'll be important for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, his final words that he would ever write, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Of course, we know that Pontius Pilate himself asked the question of Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? Important question to ask. It's not a question that has gone away. Over the course of the last year at our church, we have emphasized again and again our commitment, our singular commitment to the authority of the Word of God. In fact, coming up close in just about a month and a half or so, we'll be celebrating 1 year from the time in which we celebrated the use of this pulpit to proclaim that very authoritative Word of God. The Word of God is authoritative about everything concerning about that which it speaks. It is authoritative about the person of God and who He is, His character. It is authoritative about the Son of God. It is authoritative about the Holy Spirit. It is authoritative about who we are and our sinful nature. It is authoritative about the message of salvation and the exclusivity of the gospel message. And there is salvation in no one else. It is authoritative concerning our lives, our conduct, our behavior, the way we live. It's the authority concerning our souls, our hearts, our minds. It's authoritative about the life and the ministry of the church. It's authoritative about our mission and God's expectations for us to be a holy people, both individually and corporately as a church, set apart unto Him for the work of service. It is authoritative about both the beginning and the end. We have very strong convictions regarding the Word of God. It is the absolute standard of truth. Is divinely inspired by God and therefore without error. It is eternal and timeless, and its truths are fixed, cannot change. And contrary to a postmodern society, they cannot conform or morph to accommodate the subjective consensus concerning truth. Every assertion, every philosophy, every science, every conclusion, every emotion, every so-called revelation, every tradition, every religion, every denomination, every other truth claim is and must be subject to the scrutiny of the Scriptures. But sadly, we live in a contemporary culture of pop Christianity that has gotten lazy and will contribute a cheap attestation to the truthfulness and authority of the Word of God, but in practice, they actually prove themselves to disbelieve it. They are unwilling to test their knowledge, to subject and examine their presuppositions to the Scriptures, to inspect their beliefs, evaluate their doctrines, to scrutinize the widely accepted truth claims of the world under the cutting edge of Scripture. And I am convinced that much of that has to do with the lightweight, self-help, unconfrontational, passive preaching that is devoid of propositional truth, rarely calls for a verdict, and will not demand conformity to the Word of God. In a word, it is unauthoritative preaching. But make no mistake, where we see unauthoritative preaching of men in the pulpit is because we see the compromise of those men without conviction in the study. Very simply, it is not at all popular to preach dogmatically as if you really believe what you say to be the singular source of truth. In fact, what we see today among many, even many Christians, is some kind of notion that to believe oneself to be right is the epitome of arrogance. To say that you possess the only truth, to the exclusion of all other truth claims, is pride. It is virtuous in our postmodern world to maintain that no one can be certain of the truth they possess. Because pastors in the study have conformed to the subjective truth of the consensus, how in the world can they possibly preach authoritatively in their pulpits? The only doctrine we can be dogmatic about is that no one can be dogmatic about doctrine. None of that is anything new. None of that is anything new. Truth has always been under attack since the fall, all the way back at the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 3. It was the testimony of the church for the first 1,000 years of church history that the Scriptures were the singular authoritative source of all things pertaining to life and godliness. And it was as the Roman Catholic Church began to gel that it, for the first time, began to write dogma in competition to that singular authoritative claim, leading to another 1,000 years of compromise. The truth has always been under attack since the fall, all the way back at the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 3. Has God really said? The serpent said. Has God really said? And of course, bringing to question the absolute, bringing to question the precision of the Word of God. And that provided Eve with the opportunity to fulfill her own desires rather than to conform and subject herself to the Word of God. That has been the issue throughout the ages. You cannot have authoritative biblical truth that applies to life and conduct with bone-cutting precision, because that kind of Bible demands a change in life that is in submission to Christ. The kind of submission that we talked about this morning. The problem is that truth does not reside in us. We like to think that it is. But we are not the source of truth. We can't be. Because if we were the source of truth, what would the truth be if there was no consensus about the truth? What is it when there's no consensus or no resolution in your personal mind regarding truth? Does truth cease to exist? What becomes of truth should we cease to exist if truth is from that which is within us? We know truth must still exist because there are laws of nature, though, right? So, the truth can't be from within us because truth exists in nature, which is outside of us. There are laws of nature. But truth can't be in nature because nature can't explain other sources of truth, like logic. Where does logic come from? Nature can't account for that. Now, there are laws of logic. Do those cease to exist if we, just because we cease to exist? Or do the laws of logic cease to exist simply because nature itself exists? Stay with me here. There is truth outside the existence of humanity in nature and logic. There is truth outside the existence of logic in nature and humanity. And there is truth outside of nature in logic and humanity. So none of those account for the source of truth, which means truth must pre-exist humanity, nature, and logic. It means that none possess the right to determine what is and isn't truth based on subjectivity, to whatever degree of subjectivity. There has to be an objective standard of truth because of an objective source of truth. Because there must be an objective source of truth, there must be an author of truth. In other words, truth must be ontological. Ontological. You might hear that term being used from time to time, or see it in your readings. Truth is ontological, which means that it is just obviously the way things really are. It's reality. By the way, reality is a synonym for truth. And we intrinsically know this. Romans 1:19 says, "That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." The absolute truth, the absolute nature of truth, is a truth that we can't, in actuality, truthfully deny. And Romans 1:19 tells us that ultimately bears witness to the existence of God. The reality of the nature of truth bears witness to the existence of God. And more specifically than that, the true God, the God of the Bible. And you continue to bear with me here, because if we can successfully argue for the truthfulness of God, then we can also argue for the truthfulness of the Bible. If God is the source of the Bible and God is the source of truth, being true in His very nature, then His Word must also be true. Listen to this. I love the way David says this. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. "You are God. You are God. And your words are true." By the way, "you" there is emphatically written in the Hebrew language, emphasizing that God alone is God and God alone is the source of truth. It reiterates what he had just said back in verse 22. "You are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." All of life testifies to the truthfulness of God, bears witness to the absolute necessity of God. And more specifically, it bears witness to the absolute necessity of the God, not just a God, but the God of Israel, the God of the revealed Scriptures. That's what David is saying. And understand what is at stake here. For anyone to argue for the truthfulness and authority of the Bible because of their own testimony to it is to argue for the truthfulness and authority of the Bible on the assertions of fallible men who can be wrong. Right? You argue for the truthfulness of the Bible based on your testimony? Well, you are a fallible person. So your testimony can be wrong. But also understand, to argue against the truthfulness and authority of the Bible on anything but an objective standard of truth, or God, in other words, makes disproving the Bible an impossibility. Because you are also, in that case, arguing from the perspective of fallible men who can also be wrong. In other words, whether you argue for or against the truthfulness of Scripture, the only way to conclusively do that is by appealing to the supreme source of truth. Because the supreme source of truth is God, about whom nature testifies, as does our reason, as does logic, as we saw in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, there is no other possibility for the ultimate source of truth to be anyone but the God of the Bible. Because you cannot appeal to a supreme source of truth outside of the context of God. And if you can't do that, then you certainly can't disprove the Bible. And obviously, God Himself bears witness to the infallibility of Scripture. So we argue for the truthfulness of the Scriptures, not by human testimony, but by the testimony of God Himself, who is manifest in creation, making any kind of argument to the contrary infinitely inferior. It means that the truthfulness of Scripture is self-validating or intrinsic. To put it maybe in a better way, so as not to reinvent the wheel here, the Westminster Confession of Faith says, "The authority of the Holy Scripture, for which it ought to be believed and obeyed, dependeth not upon the testimony of any man or church, but wholly upon God, who is truth itself, the author thereof, and therefore it is to be believed because it is the Word of God." There's a lot of weight behind those words. Testimony in the Scriptures regarding its excellence is abundantly self-evident. There has never been any kind of document that has stood up to the scrutiny of the Scriptures, nor has there ever been any document of any kind that has been exposed to the same level of scrutiny as the Scriptures and is held up under it. But that is all water under the bridge. The fact is, we defend the truthfulness of the Scriptures because that is the testimony of God. Now, you might be thinking, but isn't that circular reasoning? Isn't that intellectually dishonest? Isn't that irrational? Not at all. In fact, we've alluded to this before. You can't. It can't be, unless you argue that all arguments are circular. But it isn't circular because we are arguing for an ultimate authority. Every argument in every position must assume a starting point, right? Those who argue that logic and reason are the ultimate authority, otherwise known as rationalism, use logic and reason to argue that logic and reason are their ultimate authority, don't they? Those who argue that science or experience is the ultimate authority. Empiricism or positivism is what that's called. Use science and experience or observation of that experience to do so. You have to. Otherwise, it's no longer your ultimate authority. It's no longer your standard of truth. And you know, that is exactly why whenever God argues for His own truthfulness, whenever He argues for His own authority, this is the very way that He argues for it. He argues from within His own personhood. He Himself is the highest court of truth. God Himself is self-attesting. Listen to what God said in Isaiah 45, verse 19. "I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." Sets Him right from the very outset as being the ultimate standard of truth. And what's more, God's truthfulness becomes the ultimate standard of truth for our thoughts as well. Romans 3, 4, "Let God be found true, but every man a what? Liar," right? Remember, that's why the crowds were so amazed by Jesus' teaching. Remember when we looked at that back in Mark chapter 1, verse 22? They were amazed at His teaching. Why? Because He was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Matthew 7, 29 says the same thing. What was different? What was different? Well, Jesus taught with a self-attesting authority. He didn't appeal to sources outside Himself for the truth of what He said, like the scribes did. Over in John chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus said there, "Even if I testify about Myself, My testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going." Jesus is saying that His testimony is true because He says it's true. That itself is sufficient. And again, this is self-authenticating his own word. And the basis for his authority to be able to do that was in the reality that he knew who he was. He was God. So his truth was self-authenticating. Or how about this one? Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Is that circular? Of course not. Because God is appealing to the supreme standard of truth. There is no higher truth than God. He had to do that. Because God is the highest authority, so to appeal to any other authority would render him as no longer God. So where we argue for the ultimate authority of the Scriptures and the truthfulness of the Scriptures with the Scriptures, we are actually being logically consistent with our position that it is the Scriptures that are the supreme authority. And it was for the same reason that God appealed to His own authority for His authority. God's Word is self-attesting, self-true, and as such, it is the standard, the rule, the criterion by which we test all other truth. So there are always self-evident truths, aren't there? I mean, doesn't this sound familiar? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. We have no problem with that. We accept it as true, because the truth is self-evident. Well, likewise, the truthfulness of Scripture is also self-evident. And to use logic or reason to prove the Bible denies the very thing that you were trying to prove. That the Bible is the final authority, and all truth must submit itself to the authority of the Bible. The Bible is not subject to your logic. And if you want to use logic to disprove the Bible, how can you do that conclusively? How do you know that your logic is rational? Or do you use science or experientialism to prove the Bible? You only show that those are a higher authority than the Bible. The reality that self-evident truths exist demands circularity. Again, anything contrary to that is hopelessly infuriating, isn't it? Picture for a moment a ruler in your home, right? If I were to ask you, how do you know that your ruler is 12 inches? You might say, well, I know my ruler is 12 inches because here's another ruler with 12 inches. And look, they are both 12 inches. And I say, well, how do I know that that ruler is also 12 inches? Well, I'll show you all the rulers in my house. All my rulers in my house are 12 inches. And so we can know the first ruler is 12 inches because all the other rulers are also 12 inches, testify and bear witness to the fact that the first ruler was 12 inches. And I say, well, but what if all the rulers in your household are not 12 inches? How do I know that they are 12 inches? And so you take me over to your neighbor's home. And your neighbor takes out his ruler. And say, see, I know this ruler is 12 inches because his ruler is also 12 inches. You see where this is going, don't you? You just keep going on and on and on with it. How do I know? How do I know? How do I know? And eventually we have to come to the point where we have to find an ultimate ruler. You got to keep going back until you find your final standard of authority, the original ruler that is 12 inches. And suppose we find it. And then I say, how do I know that ruler is 12 inches? Well, the ultimate ruler, the final ruler, is 12 inches because it's a ruler. See, the same is true for the Bible. The Bible just doesn't happen to be true. It's not just a ruler somewhere in the list of all the other rulers we compared our ruler to. It is a very criterion for truth. It is the standard of truth. Meaning that it is the final stopping point for all justification of truth. And only the God of the Bible explains where logic and reason come from in the first place, or why there are laws of nature that make science work in the first place, that result in varying degrees of predictability or morality. Morality. Nothing else explains that. Darwinism certainly doesn't. Only the Bible is 100% consistent with the experiences of life. So can we trust the Bible? Yes. Why? Because the Bible claims to be the Word of God. How do we know that the Scriptures are the Word of God? Because the Scriptures say they are the Word of God. That is self-evidential. Problem is that the Bible says that because of the fall, our understanding of self-evidential truth has been corrupted. That's the problem. Natural man does not accept the things of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Fascinating statement. A natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. But if you back up just a couple of verses to verse 10, you see the revelation comes from the Spirit of God. For to us, Paul says, God revealed them, that is, the truths of His Word, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God who reveals those things to us. So it is the Holy Spirit that is the dispenser of all truth. John Calvin said, if we desire to provide in the best way for our consciences, that they may not be perpetually beset by the instability of doubt or vacillation, and that they may not also boggle at the smallest quibbles. He's talking about our thoughts regarding the nature of the Scriptures, the authority of the Scriptures, the inerrancy of the Scriptures, the inspired nature of the Scriptures, having heard objections, the objections of men to the truthfulness of the Scriptures. If you don't want to doubt, if you don't want to vacillate over the truth of Scripture, if you don't want to boggle at the smallest quibbles you hear about the truthfulness of Scripture, then he says we ought to seek our conviction in a higher place than human reason, judgments, or conjectures. That is, in the secret testimony of the Holy Spirit. He goes on, the testimony of the Spirit is more excellent than all reason. For as God alone is a fit witness of Himself in His Word, so also the Word will not find acceptance in men's hearts before it is sealed by the inward testimony of the Spirit. But the natural man suppresses the truth because they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They don't accept the things that come from the Spirit. The Word of God can only be understood through the Spirit, but they are spiritually judged. They are appraised. So that is why they are suppressors of truth. They are suppressors of self-evident truth. That's why Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things of your law. Open my eyes. That's why John Calvin concluded then, therefore, illumined by the Spirit's power, we believe, neither by our own, nor by anyone else's judgment that Scripture is from God, but above human judgment we affirm with utter certainty, as if we were gazing upon the majesty of God Himself, that it has flowed to us from the very mouth of God by the ministry of men. Open my eyes that I might behold the wonderful things from your law. Jesus prays much the same thing on the behalf of his disciples. I'd like you to go ahead and turn to this next passage in John chapter 17, verse 17. Really fascinating thing that Jesus says here. John chapter 17, verse 17. You know it well. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Again, Jesus here testifies to the supremacy of the truthfulness of Scripture. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. But then he doesn't switch to an adjective to describe the truth. He doesn't switch to an adjective to describe the source of truth. He uses a noun to reveal what the truth is. You know, we would expect the former, not the latter. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. No. Your word is truth. It's what it is. It is truth itself. The word of God, the highest standard of truth, which means all other truth claims are subject to it. It doesn't conform to some other higher standard of truth. It is the very definition of what is true and not true. So anything that is in accord with the truth of Scripture is true. Anything that contradicts the truth of Scripture is not true. The Word of God is inseparable from the person of God. And because God Himself is in His nature truth, so also is His Word. So to deny the truthfulness of either one is to deny truth altogether. And that has very serious consequences. Illogical consequences. Consequences that are so severe that they, again, point back to the transcendental, absolute necessity for the truth of the God of the Bible. You deny the absolute source of truth, then all other structures of self-evidencing truths fall apart. They no longer function. They can't work. There is an absolute necessity for the truth of the God of the Bible. Not even just a God, but the God of the Bible. Without it, all you are left is with some kind of authority, some kind of fallible authority, and ironically, then, a fallible truth. And yes, I'm aware that's a self-contradicting statement, and that's sort of the point. But that's the consequence. So what results is that everyone will do whatever is right in his own eyes. Isn't that the consequence of men who deny the reality of God? That's why. Because you deny the reality of God, and specifically the God of the Bible, then another self-evidencing truth is the reality that men will do whatever is right in his own eyes. You must. There's no longer truth. So we believe the Bible to be true because of the testimony that God Himself gave regarding the truthfulness of His own Word. And for that reason, John Calvin said that we owe the Scripture the same reverence which we owe to God, because it has proceeded from Him alone and has nothing belonging to man mixed with it. Later he said that the Scripture has flowed to us from the very mouth of God by the ministry of men. He's talking about inspiration, the God-breathed revelation of the Word of God. And for Calvin, the entire credibility of the Scriptures were inseparably linked to his own authorship. Because of what the Bible says, there can be no other author. And if the Scriptures are true, then that means every truth claim, every truth claim is not true if it doesn't conform to the Word of God. And the testimony of the Scriptures to that very thing are astounding. That's what we'll begin to look at next time. Starting with the prophecies that are fulfilled in the Old Testament. The Old Testament repeatedly claims to be the Word of God, as does the New Testament, and both Testaments bear truth to the Word of God. Makes it really, really easy in that sense to believe the gospel message because it's so self-evidential. I mean, the evidence is just based on the prophetic testimony of Scripture alone is so sweepingly conclusive and so overwhelmingly compelling that That alone proves that the real problem why people will not come to the truth is because of their unbelief. And for no other reason than that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for by your Holy Spirit giving us eyes to see your wonderful word, Lord, that we have a standard of truth, Lord, that we can test all things by. You have called us to do that very thing. You have called us to be discerning. Father, to no longer be children, but knowledgeable in the truth, so that we are no longer tossed here and there, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming, but rather instead we are able to speak the truth. All because you are truth. And you have chosen to reveal yourself to us in your written revelation. Lord, help us to submit to it. Let us not just profess with our mouth the authority of it, but also to live in harmony with our profession. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
You've been listening to our pastor-teacher, Pastor Matt Tarr, on the High Point Baptist Church Sermoncast, and we pray you have been blessed by what you've heard. If you have any questions about the gospel of our Lord, or if you would like to speak with someone concerning a decision you've made for Jesus Christ, please reach out to us right away. It would be a great joy and blessing to minister to you. Contact information can be found on our website. If you have any additional questions or comments regarding this sermon, would like to know more about our church, or would like to submit a prayer request, just visit us online at highpointbaptist.church. Additional sermons can be found on the Sermoncast page of our website and may be downloaded or streamed free of charge. Our website again is highpointbaptist.church. Thank you again for listening. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Copyright 2015, High Point Baptist Church, all rights reserved.